Right, so, hi, I'm Kimberly.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
Hi, I'm Kira.
So thank you for joining me, Michelle, Kira, for this podcast. So I know that you guys are part of the Muralism and Arts group. So could you guys just give me a very brief run of what you did for your project and your research, what that entailed? It can be very brief because you're gonna elaborate a bit more when you actually start speaking about your research, but give a mini table of contents, if you will, for the audience.
Yeah, so basically, we started with the specific mural at El Paseo, which is called El Abrazo. And we kind of started there and delved into the community work that was done there and the themes involved. And then from there, we branched out. So we talked more about the history of Pilsen and murals there and tied it into members of the community, their thoughts, and basically what the state of murals are now in Pilsen.
In addition to that, I'd say we would go to the garden maybe every other week to take pictures and conduct field work to just not only analyze but also admire the murals not only on the garden but around Pilsen and the surrounding neighborhood. And we have all these pictures set up, which you hopefully will check out soon in the rest of our website.
Great, that sounds lovely. So, are we going to get started with the history of the murals then for you guys, or?
We're actually going to start with a specific mural at El Paseo, zoom out to the history, and then zoom back in to see the community influence and also what murals look like in Pilsen now.
Right, without further ado, then, by all means, you guys can start.
Thank you. So we're going to start with the El Paseo mural, as I just mentioned. It is titled El Abrazo, meaning the embrace. And it was a three-phase project that depicts outstretched arms embracing the garden of El Paseo. So on one side it's golden and on one side it is silver. The entire project was centered around community involvement, and it was meant to be informed by the community and involved with members who actually painted it. So the artists were found through social media. Initially, Paula and other members of the garden called out on social media and asked people to volunteer if they were local to the Pilsen area and wanted to be involved in this mural. These three lead muralists are Eric J. Garcia, Diane Solis, and Katia Perez Fuentes. And there were 4 to 5 high school age apprentices who also aided in the design. But mainly, the design was informed by the community, so there were many meetings. Prior to the mural being painted, to brainstorm ideas and themes. And when we interviewed Diana Solis, she mentioned that asking the community to participate in the creation of the mural was essential to the creation of this space. And some of the themes that emerged due to the community's ideas were themes of immigration, Pilsen history, local art, environmental justice, and workers' rights.
The three of us said yes, but one thing we had to do, what's very important to us, is to get the approval of the community. Because it's very easy for artists to create something and say, this is what we want to do, and we're going to impose this, and, you know, without using the word impose, but as artists, we want to do this, and this is what we're going to do. It was bonding, right? But this wasn't the way we wanted to do things. We wanted to ask the community if they wanted to participate in a process of us, ideas from the community.
So leading up to the mural being created, multiple community days prepared the wall, basically painted over it to have a white background, and then allowed for the sketching and the actual painting of the mural. So it was a crucial aspect of the El Paseo garden as a community garden to allow individuals in the community to actually paint the wall, providing this common cause for everyone to work for. And Diana also told us that it was important for the artists to have to combine their vision with the community's vision to make it work as a cohesive whole, and that it allowed her to learn as an artist and as a community member how to work with others and really work together to create this one final product which everyone can appreciate. So phase one of the garden basically represented immigration, migration, borders, environment, agriculture, and local histories, as well as the lost murals of Pilsen. And that is one side of the arm. And the other arm in phase two honors the working class that continues to do the hard work that society takes for granted and honor immigrants who are an intricate part of the United States workforce and economy. even though they are threatened by malicious legal and illegal acts against them, according to their website. And Diana Solis told us this amazing quote in which she said that the idea of immigration is not always so clean cut, and it is not always individuals crossing the borders, but sometimes the borders crossing them.
So we got the red light, the green light to go ahead, and the process began, and we outlined the process for everyone, because it's really important for us to do it, not just for the funders, but for the people in the community. And the mural, the abrazo comes from the idea of having an embrace, and how in many instances, and as you've seen in the film, which was so poignant to us, the idea of the immigration of crossing borders. You know, my whole thing is, why do we have to cross them? What we do, unfortunately, right? And in some cases, the borders have crossed us. We did not cross the border.
So this is something really powerful that worked into the community's vision of what this mural should portray.
So on to the history of murals in Pilsen. There was a rise in the 60s with activist movements that could be seen in murals, not only in Pilsen, but just around the country and even in many Latin American countries. For example, Mexico has a rich historical tradition of murals dating back to the Mayan and Aztec civilizations. These murals have transcended national boundaries and have influenced the development of mural art globally. In the late 1960s, Mexican mural art reached the neighborhood of Pilsen. And we'd say that, according to our research, the first Mexican mural in Pilsen was created by Mario Castillo, a student at the Art Institute of Chicago in 1968. He titled the mural Peace or Metafísico. This mural was intended to affirm Mexican identity that Castillo believed had been marginalized since moving to the United States. Following the completion of Peace or Metafísico, Castillo continued to create more murals in the area, marking the beginning of a vibrant mural art movement in Pilsen. Today, Mexican murals can be seen throughout the area, testament to the enduring legacy of this art form. We'd also say that there was an influence of the Chicano movement that can be seen in the murals that around Pilsen and in general. There is a writing of Chicano history that can be seen in the pictures depicted in said murals, and this emerged in the 1960s during the tumult of the Vietnam War. The writings of Chicano history became centered around emboldening the communities from which the Chicano historians were a part of, and so Mexican Americans, in the face of criminalization, racial profiling, and strict immigration laws, were looked upon with suspicion and sometimes deemed as incapable of being fully American. No matter how long they had lived in the U.S. and how patriotic they were, it didn't matter. The Chicano movement engendered the quest to recover, recapture, and recast the ethnic Mexican past in order to empower those in the future and to understand and document Mexican-American history in a more focused manner. The Chicano movement also involves its self-definition of a people. Regardless, Chicanos cannot be understood as a distinct ethnicity or from a single geographic origin. Instead, Chicano history must be understood through the historical context that produced a range of shared experiences. Chicano history is a transnational one, involving barriers and borders, as well as the displacement and downward mobility exacerbated by both race and class conditions. The documentation of Chicano history that began in the 60s seeks to understand and articulate the factors and experiences that have shaped the lives of Mexican Americans. Those who research and write Chicano and Chicana history are guided by the motivation that first engendered the field. To understand the present through an examination of the past, taking into consideration the unique standing of ethnic Mexicans in the United States as both natives and aliens, a status that is constant yet changes over time. Thus, Chicano history represents an urgency to understand and empower one's present while challenging, exploring, and documenting one's past at the same time.
So this ties into how murals as a medium are intended to reach a large community audience. So murals are a part of the everyday landscape in Hispanic neighborhoods, and they are usually located in highly visible places of gathering, such as community centers and public parks, like El Abrazo in El Paseo. So this is reminiscent of the legacy of public plazas in Mexico, where public parks are valuable social spaces. Murals inherently serve a community function, generating a sense of belonging and unity in neighborhoods that were often marginalized by the rest of the city. Even the making of the mural, as in the case of the El Paseo mural, involves the entire neighborhood, as men, women, the elderly, and even children work together to design and paint the artwork. The involvement of the entire community in the muralism project also helps preserve histories and traditions, as murals can serve as mnemonic devices in absence of written histories and act as a medium to strengthen group memory. So one of the individuals who was a Pilsen native that we discussed these questions of murals with, John Miramontes, he said how the famous painter and muralist in Pilsen, Marcos Raya, was a political painter and actually was deeply involved in his childhood and his growing up. So this political painter who he had known in the community had a good friend of his who encouraged John to go to college. And John, in his interview, stated that this was life-changing and that likely without this community support, he would not have gone to college and his life would be very different and that he wouldn't have even ended up being in that interview. So this is something to prove that murals are not only something that is visually community building, but genuinely community building, as the individuals involved form relationships and become involved with each other, and further create a support network that can aid in the growth of individuals and their future. And it also represents something about the community even deeper when it comes to something like religious murals. So another individual that we interviewed, Edith Rodriguez, she stated that nobody touches religious murals in the area. As there are many murals and graffiti can sometimes be a problem, some murals are touched by graffiti and often ruined. However, she stated that particular images of the Virgin Mary are left untouched and preserved, most likely because a large portion of Pilsen is religious and they respect the image of the Virgin Mary, not wanting to bring apart something so valuable to the community, as religion is something considered to be highly sacred.
On to the state of the murals in Pilsen now. If you have gone through the Pilsen neighborhood anytime, you can see that there are murals just about on every block, which is so beautiful to see. So to start with a popular muralist, Jeff Zimmerman, he is a Chicago native who has painted multiple murals throughout Pilsen and the Chicagoland in general. He painted his first mural in the 1990s after he was asked by a priest at the St. Pius V parish to paint La Virgen de Guadalupe, or the Virgin of Guadalupe. This mural can be seen above the laundromat on 19th and Ashland, and it's now one of the three large panels painted by Zimmerman that celebrates the Pilsen community. Each panel in the mural depicts large-scale photorealistic images of real people, representing the hard work and success of immigrants, the industrious and inspirational faces of past and present Latino residents, as well as the Virgin of Guadalupe who watches over the community. Zimmerman's use, as we can see through his murals, Zimmerman's use of historical and political imagery, iconic pop culture references, and diverse, vibrant, realistic paintings of the faces of real people allows him to create art that is meaningful and inspirational to the communities that he is representing, which is extremely important, as we have said that murals mean more than just a piece of art to these communities. It's actually something that's been a part of their histories for very long. Another famous muralist is actually Joseph Jerez. He's known as Centroc, that's his artist name, and he's originally from Phoenix, Arizona. He came to Chicago to study at Columbia College, and now Centroc's murals can be found all over the city, many of them depicting his signature character, Bird City Saint, a young boy wearing a cardinal superhero mask. Centroc describes the mask as representing a sense of hope, signifying finding one's voice and being their true self, or becoming their true self. His murals throughout Chicago often embody this theme of encouragement, freedom, and hope for a good future. For instance, Centroc's murals in Pilsen on 19th and Wood Street depicts the young boy wearing a cardinal mask as a bird soars up towards the sky from his heart. The boy's hand reaches as a vibrant wolf beside him howls. With his bright colors and signature styles, Centroc offers the community a sense of inspiration to embrace their true selves and follow their dreams.
However, some of these murals have actually been covered up due to many reasons over time. So Pilsen's very first mural entitled Peace, as we discussed before, was painted in 1968 by Mario Castillo on the side of the Halsted Urban Progress Center at 19th and Halsted Street. Castillo described the artwork as an attempt to validate Mexican identity. It was the first Mexican mural in Pilsen and the first nationwide in the Chicano mural movement. However, in 1992, the mural was sandblasted and no longer exists today. In 2022, Hector Duarte and Gabriel Villa paid homage to Castillo's piece with a mural they painted on the side of a housing co-op at 1910 South Wolcott Ave in Pilsen. This piece, entitled Fight to Stay, is a mural that incorporates two images of tornadoes. One represents the influx of investors flooding into Pilsen, and the other represents the resilience of the existing community. Duarte emphasizes the threat of displacement to the Mexican community in a way that mirrors the protesting of the Vietnam War that inspired Castillo's 1968 mural in Pilsen. Castillo said he was honored that Duarte and Villa paid tribute to his artwork and to the neighborhood's history.
I do have one question for you both to answer. Just generally speaking, since we were kind of thinking about what we would do for the community through our output, this podcast, you guys did an amazing job of like giving us history and speaking more in depth about specific muralists. But I do have a question for you guys in your intent, I guess your intentions about like spreading more word about these murals. What would you like to see these murals do for our listener? Like, how would you invite them to either look at them more closely or even incite thought-provoking thought-provoking like ideas for them in considering like what murals do for a community, how they have been treated by those who are not part of a community, and what they can do to have a bit more respect for murals and what they do for certain people.
Well, the hope in this podcast is to deliver information and to inform any listeners really of the history behind these murals. And exactly as you said, murals are an integral part of the Pilsen community. They represent history, they represent change, they represent conflict. And to really understand that, you have to do more than just look at the mural. You have to understand part of the history, who designed it, whether or not the community was involved in it. And really then you can go back and look at the mural and maybe perceive it in a more accurate light or a more historically informed light. And that really is the goal with sharing this information, is just to understand the origins and the development of the murals in Pilsen.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'm also thinking about when like Paula mentioned how when they had those architects come in and like put in their, like installed like their work, it wasn't necessarily like something that was quite informed with the rest of the community at the garden. And she has kind of expressed that like she kind of wishes that they had more say in like how the installation like would actually sit and work in the garden. So in that regard, thinking about like how murals and art nowadays is kind of inflated and like it's not treated with the same amount of like respect, or it's not necessarily like given the same amount of like meaningful like origin, if that makes sense. People kind of just make art to make art, if that makes sense. How do you guys feel about that?
That's probably just connected to the commercialization of art along with like, and the process that one has to go through to make a mural, like making sure that the building is not vacated, like having the right permit for all of this. So it's, those are things that a lot of people don't know about. It's something that they can't see when they look at a mural, along with the history of muralism in these communities, along with the background of said artists. So I don't know. It's a tricky conversation, and I think it's something that can be spoken about and information can be dispersed, but a sit down has to occur for like folks to know the process that goes behind this and thus start, maybe begin to appreciate murals more in the community and not just stare at them when they walk by, but understand the blood and tears that go into creating these things. Because it's I know Paula has mentioned certain things about like, oh, like we questioned, it was one of our research questions, who owns the building that the mural is on? That's something that muralists have to think about each time they think about putting up a mural, along with if they have permission to do so.
Additionally, I think the mural at El Paseo was very intentional in becoming a community effort, and that kind of contrasts with some of the architectural pieces within the garden that maybe artists offered up and they did volunteer to provide, but it was kind of very separate from community efforts. And then from the beginning, this mural was considered to be informed by the community and even painted by community members who did want to join. So it kind of stands as, like, I think the magnum, like, opus of the entire garden, and the fact that, like, it is so tied to people who do live in Pilsen.
It was something that Diana Solis expressed she wanted to see in the mural, and at least, like, not only in the mural itself, but also in the process of creating the mural, she wanted to feel that community feeling, and in doing, like, to do, in order to do so, she had to talk to the community in every stage of the process, which I'm very proud that they did that, and I, like, it's inspirational, and I feel like a lot of people can start doing that in other muralism projects, I believe, because it is for the community, and why not make it, like, why not have the community input into art making?
For and by the
community. Yes, exactly what I was going to
say. No, you're good. All right, thank you for answering those questions. I guess now we can, like, dive into your next question about, like, what the murals look like now.
So, what do murals look like now?
So, murals are seen as a reflection of culture and a cultural blend around Pilsen, represented by the El Paseo Garden mural. In fact, reflecting the El Abrazo mural, which was created by the community, several members of the community put in their word about what they thought about the mural in Pilsen and beyond. For example, Daisy Morales discussed diversity in Pilsen and said that it's not only just a Mexican neighborhood, but represents little diasporas of a lot of other Latin American cultures, resulting in a blend that is reflected in the variety of murals in the Pilsen area.
I think that's what the film is trying to, like, push out, because a lot of people think that Pilsen is just a Mexican neighborhood, when, yes, it has a lot of Mexican residents, but it also has, like, little diasporas of other, like, Latin American cultures.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Yuritza Guelen also mentioned how murals are a form of healing for individuals who might have wounds from traveling in between other countries in America, who have been forced to move, and essentially is a form of storytelling at its core. In fact, she mentions that a lot of other artists in particular might have been trained in Latin America for their art, and the fact that these transnational influences are found in Pilsen is a beautiful aspect of mural art.
If you look at how the storytelling of Nursa Adensa, you see how, you know, people have always been transient, like traveling back and forth, not just with the Latino community, but also with, like, the Black community. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who is, you know, a great artist from the South Side, and I was like, man, like, it's like we don't realize how much similarities we have, because African Americans in the North, they always go back to visit they still have roots in the South, right? And they're always visiting their families. And I'm like, it's not very far off to how, like, Latinos are, where, like, we're back and forth. Like, we still want to have that connection. And I think murals kind of tell those stories of just movement and migration.
There's a representation of this sort of transient nature in which people go back and forth and are ultimately uprooted from where they initially came from. But as a result, have a more nuanced experience resulting in this relationship between the U.S. and their home country, where they travel back and forth. They might have family ties to the initial country, but have a new home in the United States. And all of this can be represented by muralist art. In fact, a lot of themes of muralist art, as we've discussed in the history of Pilsen and beyond, form around political identity, but also cultural identity in the form of immigration, of workers migrating to the U.S. who might not have white-collar jobs, but as a result, form a community that understands each other more than others can. For example, in Pilsen, these little diasporas of Latin American communities and Mexican communities can understand each other and come together to share a story of migration that others in the surrounding areas might not understand. In fact, this results in a warm kinship that is represented by the El Abrazo mural, which is, after all, the embrace. And the fact that, in some cases, the individuals here can come together, like at the El Paseo Garden, and find that they do have a lot in common.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy.